Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, March the 22nd, 2021, second day of spring. Although, if you pay attention to the meteorologists, they say spring came on Tuesday. I think that's garbage. I think it was yesterday, the 21st, as it should be. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Jessica Hauser, and we were talking about all the superficial topics in hour number one. So just to double back on this and give a yes-no here, tanning beds for Gen Z, good or bad?
Tanning beds are bad.
Bad.
Good.
Good. Good. Because you've just been there. Would you go again now?
I might.
You might. You want to keep this you going that you've got going on.
Hopefully the sun starts shining and I won't have to.
H-U-E. Fat shaming. Oprah said she was fat shamed. Is it the last sacred cow?
No.
No.
What can you shame people over?
Everything.
You can, but I'm saying people will turn their heads.
I think people will turn their heads if you shame people about being fat.
No, they won't.
I think people will turn their heads if you shame people about race or sexuality or any of the other things.
Yes.
I think that
But there are organizations that you can go to for race. There are organizations you can go to for ethnicity. There are organizations for gender. There is no organization. What are you going to go to, Weight Watchers and have them pick at your house? It doesn't work. I'm saying there is the NAACP. If you attack somebody's race, you can complain. There is the Anti-Defamation League. You attack somebody's religion, they will come at you. There are groups like that for those things that you can get in trouble for. You attack somebody's weight, what group are you going to go to and have picketers? There's nothing.
Look, I think that a lot of people say a lot of things that make people upset, but I don't think that anything ever happens out of it. I think that you can make fun of people for just about anything, and I think making fun of people in general is generally frowned upon.
Yeah, but I think what you're confusing here is saying you can't. No, you can make fun of anybody for anything, but can you get away with it?
I think you can get away with just about everything.
I don't know. You know, there have been people who've made fun of people with disabilities. There are groups that will protect that, the Americans with Disabilities. There have been acts. Name one thing that's ever been passed for people who overweight. Any act, any modification to a building, any group that's ever been formed to protect their rights, nothing.
Well, I mean, I don't think, as poor as it sounds, I don't necessarily think that you should be catering to people who are overweight. The term overweight is not a good thing.
This is the point of this story.
Heart problems are the number one killer in the United States.
Yeah.
A lot of things would be helpful if people weren't so
overweight.
But the
people
are. States.
Do you think they choose to be overweight?
I mean, I don't know. I certainly think they don't try to do anything
See,
about it.
And that's the sacred cow right there.
I mean,
people don't choose to
be overweight. I myself used to be a bigger person. I didn't do anything about it. The weight just kind of fell off, and I'll give you that.
Yeah. Right, but do you think when somebody is in bad shape health-wise that they want to be in bad shape health-wise because of their weight?
I mean, I don't think...
Do you think Oprah, who's a billionaire, could have afforded trainers and la-di-das, wanted things in the front of the tabloids that said Oprah eats herself to 300 pounds and boyfriend leaves her? Do you think she wanted that?
No, but I think once you're in the public light, things like that are bound to happen. I think
but if she wasn't fat, those wouldn't have been the stories. If she wasn't big, those wouldn't have been the stories.
I think that if she wasn't big and her boyfriend left her, people would still say something about it. I think that, what was the other things you listed?
Yeah, but they wouldn't say because she ate too much, because she ballooned to 400 pounds.
It was 300.
It could have been 400. That's what I'm saying. You can't do that on the cover of a magazine. When's the last time you saw somebody's race attacked on the front of a magazine? Or somebody's disability attacked on the front of a magazine?
When did that article come out? The one that...
This week.
The
400-pound
thing? Yeah.
A lot. Oprah was attacked a lot for her weight.
How long ago?
I don't know the exact year, but it's been within the last 10 years.
200 pounds ago.
Yeah, 200 pounds ago. No, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it now, and there's the point. They wouldn't get away with that because you can see that she's not heavy anymore.
I don't know anything about Oprah, so I honestly didn't think she was that heavy.
They used to make jokes about fat weathermen, And then Al Roker got the gastric bypass, and he's no longer fat. Now they don't have the fat jokes.
I don't know who that is. I'm going to be 100 with you.
Well, that's okay, but look it up. It's an interesting thing. But anyway, to go on to another topic. So is weight the last sacred cow that doesn't have something protecting them to not make it okay to make fun?
I don't think it is. But I can't follow up with the...
No, but what's another one? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I can't follow up with another one.
It's hard to think of another one at this point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do attack somebody's race, they can go after you. If you do attack somebody's age, they can go after you. If you do attack somebody's religion, there are groups that will go after you.
I mean, they're attacking... Like, who's going after Donald Trump for attacking Joe Biden's age and vice versa?
Well,
I mean...
I don't think it's a popular stance at this point.
I don't think it's popular to call people fat.
Right, I don't think it's popular, but I think people get away with it.
They're getting away with calling Joe Biden old and mentally disabled. The DOJ
said
that.
You can say it, but the question is it okay to say it? If he wanted to say, you're aging me out of this job, I'm sure he could get a group together.
I don't think anything would happen because of it.
But it's not his boss. Because the president has no boss calling him that. If you went to work and you said, I'm firing you because of your age, yes, you would have a lawsuit. And there would be people who would come in who would take that. If you said, I'm firing you because of your fat, who's going to come in?
I think that's just as likely to be sued on as
What grounds?
Discrimination. Yes. That's still discrimination.
It's discrimination, but based upon what?
If I fired somebody because they were fat, and I told them that I fired them because they were fat, they could definitely easily come around and sue me.
Okay, but then what are you going to say when we get up there? What group is going to come in and support that in a big company?
What do you mean?
Because the Anti-Defamation League will come in.
I think they need a lawyer. I don't think they need nobody to support them.
What
do you
think?
They need a lawyer.
Well, I guess if you're
going to sue somebody, you probably want a lawyer.
If you don't have much money, forget that.
And I think if you're old and somebody fires you for being old, you'd probably need a lawyer to sue the company.
No, you don't, though, because there you have age discrimination groups. You have senior centers. You have people who will take those. That's why I think you're not understanding. There is no group protecting people who are big. There's no group that's going to come in and give you the money and say, listen, I support you, we'll back you, I'm the president of the blah, 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 and we're going to take this to the Supreme Court if we have to. Nobody's going to do that for being overweight. They will do that for religion. They will do that for race. They will do that for ethnicity.
I think you are just as likely to be sued for firing somebody for being overweight as you are for firing somebody for any other discriminatory reason.
Oh, good luck. Good luck.
I think discrimination.
Because the chances are that somebody's going to come out and say you're fat.
Discrimination suits a discrimination suit.
Huh? Yeah, and most of them don't succeed because Ohio's a no-fault state. So good luck.
Well, I mean, no fault's no fault. I mean, that's
no fault's no luck. No fault's no luck. No fault's no fault. But if you get the Anti-Defamation League picket in your store every day, you might change your mind quick.
I don't think. I mean, go for it. I guess. I don't think
they do go for it, and they change their mind awful quick.
I don't know.
When you have people at the Anti-Defamation League saying your store is racist and has racist management and racist employees, people aren't going to shop there. Your store doesn't like fat people. Oh, okay. It's a store. There's a difference. It's an ism, too. What's the ism for fat people? We have racism. We have ageism. We have all kinds of ism. What's the ism for fat people?
What's the ism for handicapped people?
Well, I think there are many groups for that. Americans for Disabilities.
No. What's the ism?
Well, I don't think they use an ism, but
see?
It is an ism.
See,
but
it's not an ism for the fat one, like you
middle
said.
Middle kid syndrome coming in here.
No, ism. You're just not making any sense.
Well,
there's racism, there's ageism, and I said, okay, what about handicaps? You're like, well, there's not one for that. Well, then there's not one for fat.
Handicapism, you okay?
Fatism.
Fatism.
Yeah, fatism.
No, but I'm saying there are terms for these places and there are organizations. Americans with Disabilities. You cannot have a building that is open to the public that is not handicap accessible in this country anymore.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think there's any rule that says you have to cater to fat people going down hallways or bathrooms.
Well, I mean, I think
talk about airplanes where bigger people have to get two seats.
They
still charge them for two seats.
They don't do that anymore. No, they don't do that.
Oh, yes, they do.
No.
I talk to somebody in the last
year. And also, yeah, like, why would I not make you buy two seats? If you, like, if you can't fit in the one seat, then I'm sorry. You, I could have somebody else who bought that seat.
Yeah, but you know what? During
first class.
Yeah, but you know what? During 9/11, how many people got turned away from airplanes because they had a turban on, because they looked a certain way, they were profiled, and how long did that continue on? Not very long, because those leagues came in, those isms came in, and they said, you can't do that. But the fat people are still paying for two seats.
Oh, I mean,
nobody protects.
But, I mean, before, I don't. Jesus. All right. So, I think how many people were searched because they had a turban or weren't let onto the aircraft because
they
had
a turban? After 9/11, a lot.
After 9/11, I mean, I knew that that. Or I guess I didn't know, but like I watched this documentary, and the documentary, they were actually following the people who, well, I guess there's no way to 100% tell because, you know, they crashed a plane at that point, but, they were following people who they were pretty sure, were the ones who did it, but they never did anything because they didn't have any, solid proof.
Before 9/11, people didn't care. It was after 9/11 that we cared.
I would disagree. I mean, they were tracking those
people.
Were
you alive then? I was.
I mean, they were tracking those people.
Allegedly. They say there was a report. You didn't think of it back then. There was no idea that anybody was going to do something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, who would have thunk that they would flew planes into a building?
It happened.
I don't think that's something you just kind of think about.
That's what I'm saying. So you can put out a report. There's threats on the president's life every day.
I mean, I don't think that they knew that that's what it was going to be, but I think that, I mean, they apparently thought that there was going to be some kind of something. They had those people on a list. They just had no proof, and then all of a sudden, the proof happened.
Well, right, but these people at the airport, they had no proof. We just, the people who did this were Islamic, so, wait a second. I don't know that we can let you on a plane because all Muslim people fly planes into buildings, I guess was the thought.
I don't know.
I always thought if you went to the airport at that time and somebody had a turban on, that'd be the safest plane to get in, because who would do that after 9/11? Because it was seen as such a bad thing. Do you have any opinions? Well, I don't think we've heard from you this hour.
Oh, I'm just, yeah, right. I'm just
Come
listening.
On in. Come just on listening. In. What do you think?
I think all of this is like kind of a little pregame here on Oprah starting her first fat group.
Yeah.
fat protection rights.
But you know what? I think Oprah being heavy gave her a greater appeal to a lot of people, because a lot of people were heavy and a lot of people did struggle with that. So that's what Oprah was, very appealing to people in that way, and worked for her. So she used it enough to become a billionaire. So there you go.
She'll start the poop group.
There you go.
The poop group. Protection of overweight people.
You know what it reminds me of? I'll tell you what the other sacred is depression and anxiety. People will still make fun of that, and people still treat that as not a disease. And those are the differences.
They need a tanning bed.
That'll clear it right up.
I think
clear
that
depression right up.
Anything is, just about anything is free game in terms of jokes.
It is, but what will people take and what will people not take is what you say the N-word. And you are not, you're in a group, that's not going to be seen well. There's no punchline that's going to make that heavily funny. there might be a punch coming your way, but there's no punchline.
I mean, I don't know.
We can't even say that on the air anymore. You know, that was the first four-letter profane word that was outlawed in broadcasting. Cannot say it.
My son's on this "your mama's so fat" jokes right now, too.
There you go.
Those things have been around since forever, though.
They have.
That is what it is.
I still look at him and I'm like, don't you dare.
See?
Don't you dare call your mom fat.
There you go. There you sacred
I'm
cows.
I'm just kidding, mommy. It's fun.
No. It's fun.
It's a joke.
What if we call Joel?
Your mom's so old.
Oh, yeah. There's also those
there's
ones.
There's those.
There's just all the things.
I'd rather be the MILF.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
I don't want to be the fat mom.
Don't want to be the fat. You'd rather be the old mom.
There you go.
Be the old mom. All right. Well, let's move on to the other topics here. It's interesting, and draw your own conclusions. By the way, if anybody has an opinion on any of those, we did have somebody calling, and I didn't get to the call quick enough. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Is there age discrimination, or is there discrimination against fat people when there isn't against ageism or sexism? There's another ism, or religion, or disabilities, or whatever it might be. 740-383-9944. Okay, the other two topics in the 30 minutes we have left. Well, let's see, which one to go to first here? This is interesting. TikTok, there's a new TikTok trend that stay-at-home girlfriends are saying they have a life of leisure, they're living the life of leisure, and everything's great. But some of those people now are saying that when the relationship ends, here's a warning, you can be left without a job, a home, or money. So be careful about being the stay-at-home girlfriend. Or I guess it'd be stay-at-home wife would qualify for that as well. Don't you think we would have learned this by now?
I thought there was some rules in place, though. Like, you know, you're living under someone's umbrella for, like, an X amount of years. I thought it was, like, 5. That you do kind of start having, like, rights.
Well, there is there are no common law marriages anymore. So I think to get any kind of alimony, you would have to be married. I don't think girlfriend would get it done. So I think it maybe after 5 years of marriage, you might be able to get some alimony, but I don't think...
Non-marriage?
I don't think non-marriage would work anymore, because there are no common law marriages anymore. Not in Ohio.
What is an alimony?
Alimony, you don't have any kids together, but because you were the significant... they say breadwinner. I hate that term. But you made more money in the relationship. You have to support that person for a period of time because they stayed home and the things they did at home helped you, allowed you to go out and do what you did.
Yes.
Intriguing.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
That's why they're prenuptial agreements. But is it just their own fault? I mean, you think you're living the life of leisure. Good. But if he leaves,
well, I mean, I think that everything comes with a risk and a reward. I think that if you're going to be a stay-at-home person and take care of the household, you have to be willing to risk the fact that you don't have a job, because that's the whole stay-at-home thing. I mean, like, yeah, you have to understand that you don't have a job if you're a stay-at-home person, because otherwise you wouldn't be staying at home.
But don't you understand love? These girls are in love. This man's going to be there forever. He's paying their bills.
I think that's what they think.
That's what they think. You got it. That's what they think. That's what they think.
Or they're just enjoying.
Yeah, but then you can't complain then.
I agree.
If you've got no home and no money and no job, you should have had a plan B if you were really skeptical of the whole thing.
You sat there the whole time and were just talking about how wonderful your life was, and then all of a sudden now you're like, well, I don't have a job.
Right.
Yeah, especially no kids.
Now, you've always done creative things and worked and ran businesses and so on and so forth. Would you ever want a guy to come in and say, listen, you know, stay at home? Would you ever be comfortable with that? Well, your eyes lit up there for a second.
It depends on how much money he has.
But, I mean, but he always can leave.
What?
He always can leave.
He could. I mean, it just depends on if he has enough money to keep me occupied.
Oh, so you want to live off his money. Not so much just even stay at home.
I wouldn't say, like, bare necessities living. I would just say that, you know, I like to get into different projects and do different things and artwork.
Well, let's say he can support that.
Like, I might want to try to build something and then...
Okay, he can support that.
Yeah.
He's not buying you cars and he's not doing that. Well, okay, maybe that's a deal breaker. I don't know. He's paying the bills on the cars. Because if you're not working, how do you buy gas? I mean, he's doing all that, paying your insurance, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I open credit cards up in his name.
There you go.
All his information.
But is it okay? I mean, can you really be surprised, though, when he leaves and it's his house and it's his money and it's his job? You now have no job, no money, and no income.
I know. The cars would be put in my name.
Yeah, but you still got to make the car payment. How are you going to do that?
Well, I'd hope that he'd pay cash for them, or I wouldn't put
You're talking about like millionaire here. You're talking about
buying the car outright.
Yeah, you're talking about millionaire.
No. So I think he's talking like he had two car payments, his car payment, your car payment.
Yeah, I know that.
Both.
Yeah. I mean, I know many divorces that have happened where the husband was paying both car payments and paying both insurances. And when it's over, I mean, the girl still gets the car, but now she's got the payment as well.
I don't know. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't, but I enjoy working.
Right, but can you, if you do decide to do this, is if this is your goal, can you really be naive enough?
Upset when it...
Yes, when it ends?
Yes.
I mean, come on. Why would you put your... I think you put yourself in a horrible position
Yeah, I think you've put yourself in a position to be dependent on that person.
That's that's your father. Yeah. I mean, that's really what is happening there. That's become your father. He's supporting your lifestyle, and when your lifestyle cannot...
Not necessarily.
You think not?
Father is kind of a harsh
really?
Word.
You think?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't know what you would call it, but I that father
because this is somebody who you have an agreement with, whether it's verbal or not, that they are going to fund your lifestyle. I mean, isn't that pretty much what you have with your father or your mother or your parents or however you want to say it, up to a certain point when the mother or father says, "Eh, you need to go get a job and pay your own car insurance and own car payment"?
I suppose. I view that more of like the age gap.
Oh, we're back to the age gap thing again. The older you get, the bigger the age gap gets. I don't know. I think that this is just incredibly naive, and it comes back to me about relationships. If you boil it down, now you've got to remember again, nobody thinks it's that way if they're in it, because they wouldn't be in it if they thought it. But most relationships are either based in money or dependability. That's what really it is. I mean, you can call it love, but okay, what's that? So the problem is that when money is an underlying thing there, when somebody comes in, or you move in with somebody, there's another big one. Move in with somebody, quick. I knew somebody who loved to move in with people. I mean, they would move in with people under a year.
I've never understood that.
I thought, what a dummy.
I don't have a clue what that would be.
How dumb are you? I mean, that's what I really, I hate to be that blunt about it, but my God, that is dumb. Or they move somebody in a year. It's going to take a minute to get them out.
I don't even understand moving frequently. That's not easy.
No, moving's big chore.
I just went through that and it's horrible.
Moving is not fun.
Trying to change your address?
Well, just all the, if you have stuff,
so many things.
Think of what you have in a house.
I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot to move. Mm-hmm. Last time I moved, I hired a mover. I thought, this is the way to go.
Gotta go. Oh, put it away.
You do have to box it and put it, but I just had them bring it all and put it, like the big stuff, like the couches and the washer and the dryer, they put that in, but all the boxes and the stuff, I just put it in the garage, and I did it as I wanted to, and that was so great.
How many boxes are still out there?
Oh, a lot of them are still out there. Which tells you what I really don't need. I really should go through half of this stuff and just toss it away.
Yeah.
Why do we keep things that we don't need? We all do it.
I think we just kind of look at it and we think to ourselves, we'll use this someday.
I do.
And then we just never touch it.
Yeah, but every so often you do, though. Every so often somebody will come to you and they'll say, do you have, or blah, blah, blah. And it is out there.
I'd save a crooked, rusty nail.
So kind of a hoarding thing going on. I don't think I'm a hoarder, but I also
people do keep a lot of things for sentimental value. Like they have no actual purpose or anything. It just means something to you.
I don't do that. I don't know about that either. Really?
I still.
What are you keeping for sentimental value?
Now, other than things involving your child.
A diaper. Yeah.
Well, yeah, your child. I can see
a diaper, not a full diaper, but a diaper that, like, when he was done using diapers, like the last size that he had.
It's not a used diaper, right?
No.
It sounded like you were saying used diaper there.
And I got some of his onesies and stuff like that that were cute.
So you don't think you'll ever have another child?
No.
Oh, okay. You still could.
How do you know that?
Well, I guess I don't for sure, but you know what? The problem is, and I never say this to be mean, but when a lot of people are like having hot flashes or going through something, not feeling well for a while, if it's a woman who's in their 40s, I will, you know, maybe it's that. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying maybe that's what it is. It's an odd illness. And people get very, That didn't happen to my mother till she was in her early 50s. So from now on, I just assume that people, unless they tell me different, they can still have them.
Right.
But you can still have them.
I can still have
children. Okay, but you wouldn't.
No.
The things we learn on this program.
I don't think I'll have any more.
But do you feel now, I mean, having one, an only child, knowing that time is running out here, did you ever think maybe...
I was watching this show on Netflix called Call the Midwife, and there was it's about delivering babies, and I don't know, I think there was like 12 seasons in that. I needed to stop watching that show.
It was because
I'm like, oh, they're so cute on that show, but it's not.
No, that's what I always thought. I thought they come out cute, but years of that.
Mm. Oh, I think they come out looking like aliens.
No, babies smell nice. Their heads smell nice. They're nice. Aliens, you know, it's fine. But in any event, so I guess the consensus is we're all in consensus here that don't do that.
Don't
depend on somebody for money.
Correct.
Because it'll eventually, you never know it. That's the problem. It's always love. That's why people get married multiple times, as we've said. People will get into these one-sided. People will move into houses with people. They do not see it. They have blinders on to what's going on. It's amazing. Why do we get that way? We don't do that with anything else. I mean, we're skeptical of mechanics. We're skeptical of insurance people. We're skeptical of our neighbors. We're skeptical, except these people in our life who live together, share money. Those people, we have no skepticism at all. We think that's just perfect. Why? Why don't we have skepticism toward people who were actually could have a serious impact on your life?
I don't know that people want to... I think that people a lot of the times don't want to have skepticism about relationships because they kind of just want it to be... I think they think that they could just... It could just be better.
Yeah.
I think the more skeptical you are about it, the less inclined you are to get into a relationship. And if you like to be in a relationship, I don't think you want to sit there and constantly just run through ways to bash it in your head.
Why do you constantly want to live with people, though? I mean, what is that? I have lived with one person, and that was too much.
You know, I don't know.
I after that, everything I was ever in, never lived with them. Couldn't do it. And you know what? They all came to an end, so that should say something. I would have had to have, you know, because it's ugly when you're living with somebody and you part ways, because there is some question of whose is what, and it's not a pleasant situation.
How is there a question of whose is what? If it's your house, it's your house.
No, because it's not your house. It's our house.
Oh, wait, so you guys bought a house together?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't have two tables, you don't have two couches, you don't have two beds.
Well, I mean, I didn't think you guys were buying a house together. I thought you meant,
like for an example, you think a bed's not, you have one bed when you're living with somebody else, okay? Now, somebody's going to go bedless, because somebody's either taking that bed and you got no bed to sleep in, or the bed's staying there and you've got no bed where you're going. Now, you think that's, you can go just buy a bed, but I'm telling you, when you're moving, you're paying for trucks, you're paying for movers, you're paying for where you're going. There are certain things you only have one of when you live with somebody. Sometimes it's even a car.
Silverware,
dishes. And some people get vindictive during moves like that. Like, you know,
for
something
sure.
That is yours. They, oh no, this is mine. Or I can't find it. Or they break it. It's very ugly. That's not a happy time when you are...
It's not easy.
No. So that's why I don't know why people do it all the time. They must have nothing.
Well, if you only have one of something and there's two people, then one is going to have nothing.
Right, but I'm saying you must be going into it with nothing because you feel like you have nothing to lose.
Could be.
I know somebody... I hate to tell this story, and nobody will ever know who this is, but... Somebody told... Now, this was after the marriage was over. Now, the marriage, I think, lasted 3 years, something like that. But I said, well, how did that marriage ever start? It only lasted 3 years. Why did you get involved in that? And they said, I had just ended a relationship, and this person was just supposed to be a roommate to help me out with the bills. Became your husband, then became, now you gotta go. Now we got to get a divorce. Now I got to pay for that. Now you got to take... And this person had nothing. I mean, they were sleeping on a mattress when this person left. Now think about that. 3 years. Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Don't move people in. You can stay the weekend because it's a bad time, but that's it. Two days, and then it's over.
Well, I think if you're going to get married to somebody, you got to live together first.
I don't know why. That's not a rule.
I think you should.
I don't think that's in the vows.
I think it should be. That's one of those, I feel like that's a good rule of thumb, though.
Yeah, but people get married all the time.
I know a lot.
Like when they change their socks, they're getting married.
There are a lot of people who get married with people who they've never lived with before, and then I'm just like, well, now you gotta go. I mean, I guess you don't have to, but now you're going to go live with this person who you've never spent any. Well, I mean, you've spent significant amount.
How much
amount
do
of
you know somebody in a year? I mean, honestly, think about a year. How quick a year? You've almost been here a year. Now, take. Do you want to move in here? By the way, do you want to live here?
Well, no. I think.
There you go.
I mean, I think that there should be like a 3-year minimum limit kind of thing.
I agree with that. 3 years is maybe a little better, but even at 3 years, you really don't. You never really know somebody, but in a year not living together, you really don't know them.
I think that at 3 years you know somebody pretty well, and then they move in with you, and I think you give it another year or two, and you know at that point you probably know them pretty well.
You know, moving in will stress a relationship. Well. Moving in itself will stress a relationship. In the beginning, it's like the greatest thing in the world. Somebody else is, you know, vacuuming from time to time and cooking dinner. And this ain't this great. And then they're there all the time. And they're bringing all their stuff. And their stuff is there. And now their people are visiting. And, oh, then it's, oh, God. It's got to end.
It does rock the boat.
It rocks the boat.
When you're used to living by yourself.
In the beginning, though, it doesn't. Like, the first month, you think it's great. It's we, and they're always here, and they were staying anyway, and now it's great. But give it a month or two, then it's all over. Like, I was trying to explain to them, Matt and Carrington, one Friday night, seeing somebody in the morning is different than seeing them at some point during the day. Some people are not the most pleasant in the morning when they first wake up. They don't look like they look when they go to bed. You know, they look a little different. You know, they haven't got to their straightener yet. You know, do you know how many times I've been burned by a hot straightener on the sink?
I would have such a hard time with sharing a bathroom now with someone else.
Separate bathrooms. You got to have separate bathrooms.
Sharing a bathroom with my son. Like, yes. I do think you should have separate bathrooms.
I think you really should. Because
that's a big deal.
Because that hair straightener looks. Because you don't do that. Most guys don't straighten their hair. So that's not a familiar piece of equipment for you. And you don't realize that thing's scalding hot laying there.
I think if you see a hair straightener, you should probably assume it's hot. Especially if it's still plugged into the wall.
Yeah, but you live alone.
I mean, also,
in
like,
your bathroom, that's not normal.
I mean,
material.
Also, like, my mom and my sister, their hair straighteners have like a red light on it to show you when it's hot. So like, if you're burning yourself, I think it's on you. I don't think I've ever burnt myself.
Yeah,
but
eventually you get used to it when you have it there all the time. If you don't have it there all the time, you're not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a hair straightener. What's there to not think about? It's going to be hot.
Just like when you get up in the middle of the night and you trip over something that wasn't there the night before. Well, who put that there?
Yeah. Or if you're with somebody that likes to spend extra time on the commode.
Oh.
That's the worst. The
Two bathrooms. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, you know, sleeping in bed with somebody is very difficult. If somebody sleeps on their right side, somebody sleeps on their left side, somebody, you know, doesn't like the cover, somebody does like the cover, that's a whole thing. You don't get any, somebody snores, my God, that is bad. I mean, at that point, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're just praying that they die. I mean, honest to goodness, let them die. That's the only graceful way out of this at this point. Because you don't want to end the thing. You don't want to be the bad person because you snore. But only if they would choke on that snore right now, would it be...
It depends on how bad they're snoring. If you're snoring pretty bad, you might want to go to the hospital and get one of those machines.
Tell them that.
Machines.
You know what they'll say? You snore very bad. You need to go, I don't snore.
Like... for instance, like when I was a small child, right, my dad snores and he has a machine to help him breathe when he sleeps now. Back in the day, he used to just wake up in the middle of the night and then like sit up gasping for air because he just wouldn't be breathing.
Sleep apnea.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think that...
That's a little different than snoring.
Well, I mean, I think they go hand in hand. If you have sleep apnea, you usually snore.
No. Snore, yeah, you might.
Here's one. A fan...
Or a fan.
Some people have to have a fan while they sleep.
In their face.
Like, oh, I gotta have a fan. I gotta have a fan.
You gotta, no. You're gotta have
no
a fan.
Fan. No fan.
Yeah.
No.
It's just too hot otherwise.
More do than not.
Yeah, people love the fan.
As I thought, yes, a lot of people love the fan.
I gotta
while
have
they
the,
sleep.
I don't
have
understand
the
fan.
I feel like I'm gonna choke on my dry throat. Like. Yeah.
Why? And it has a noise. When everything's quiet, it has a noise.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I like the noise.
I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Nope.
That's like one of the worst. A friend of mine does that.
You watch TV in your sleep. You used to
no.
watching TV. But that doesn't.
You can do whatever once I
but
fall
the
asleep.
Fan,
turn it off.
The fan doesn't bother you. The fan bothers you.
Because you hear the fan is not normal.
If you're watching a TV while you go to sleep, you're going to hear the TV.
Yeah, but I shut it off when I'm asleep. I put the timer on it.
Well, you know, if the fan
but you have to go to sleep.
Shut off, I might be okay.
Yeah, the fan doesn't shut off.
No. Why do you need the fan to shut off?
Because it's all night long.
I'd like to watch TV and have a fan over me until I...
The question is, so you have to have the TV on to watch
asleep.
The TV while falling asleep.
I set it for like an hour and a half, 90 minutes.
Yeah, but then by the time it turns off, you're already asleep.
Right.
What difference does it matter if you're asleep?
Because sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night. Because there's a fan going.
I don't think that's how it happens.
That's how it happens. I agree.
That's a big learning to sleep with somebody else in the same room
as
somebody else.
As a fan.
Yes, a fan's a big deal.
I agree with you.
I think that needs to come out. I like the third or fourth date.
By the way,
it could be a deal breaker.
I loved you till you brought that fan out. Now it is over.
We're done.
It is hit the fan. It's all over. The final topic this week. That's a fun topic, though. That's very interesting. You know, this came from the Washington Post. I did not know the Washington Post had an advice column until, like, we started doing these shows, but apparently they do. I thought the Washington Post was a serious paper. Not that this is not serious, but that's neither here nor there, as they say. A woman wrote into the Washington Post saying that her 20-year-old daughter is coming home to visit from college, and she's bringing her boyfriend with her when she comes home. Now, the father wants them to stay in separate rooms. And the mother says, listen, they're together at college. We know they're together at college. I think they're staying in the same dorm room at college. The father is just off in some false paradise. Does he just need to get over it and realize what reality is? Or your house, your rules?
Your house, your rules.
Really?
I think the boyfriend, out of respect for the father, should sleep in a separate room anyway.
Yeah, but isn't this really at some point a mental thing?
Yes.
I mean, does it really?
It absolutely is.
But does it make you feel better? I mean, because you know that this 20-year-old is not doing what's possibly going to happen if they stay in the same room. So what's the difference?
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
I guess I just don't understand
story.
It.
It's a fake story.
Yeah.
But just,
I mean, it's like some false paradise.
Go along with it.
I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I think that the daughter is 20 years old at this point. I think you kind of got to understand.
Cat's out of the bag.
I mean, they're both grown people at this point. I don't think that you should just be like, nope, separate rooms.
Because it makes you sound very prudish and dictatorship-ish. And for what? You know what's going on.
But it could set the stage for the whole weekend. I mean, the whole weekend could be like, okay, dad got his way and everything's going to be great, you know. Or dad doesn't get his way. So, you know, now we've got, you know, an obstacle here.
But what is that?
In this uncomfortableness, like.
So, okay, but I don't know, though, because is that an obstacle in life? What if they come visit you?
They might not. No.
if they come visit you at college and, whoops, his stuff is in the room, I mean, is this going to cause a problem?
It would, I'm sure.
Because we don't believe that that's going on or because we see it?
I don't know. It's a mental thing.
It is a mental thing. You know
this
what?
Is weird.
Don't people, the guy from the Washington Post faces it.
Well, no, I mean, I think that this is the thing that happens a lot of the time. And, like, I mean, I think that, it, I mean, I think that you kind of gotta... I think that you're gonna make things worse by telling them that they have to sleep in separate rooms, because now they're gonna... I don't know. I mean, now they're, like, probably gonna end up, like, upset with you or something. It's just gonna be a whole big thing.
Whereas I don't
you
think
just let them sleep in the same room. Like, I mean, I don't think it'll... I don't think...
I mean, by the way, this is not a sex story. This is a control story. I mean, this is not about what people are doing in their rooms. People are doing things in the street, for God's sake. This is about a control story. Should you really control your guest, is what this... Do you have to let... If this wasn't his child, this would not be an issue. This is... Can you ever let go? Do the fathers ever let go of their daughters? Is that a thing?
Oh, no.
Always.
Well, I mean, to a degree. I mean, when you get to the point of my age, I'm not sure my dad cares too much.
Well, he might. I bet if you were hurt, he would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think it's different with sons?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we went to Myrtle Beach one time.
See, there you go.
I do.
If the son came home with the daughter or the girlfriend, would the father say no? Yeah.
I went to Myrtle Beach one time with my family, and my sister and her boyfriend, they came. It was just like the whole everybody. My sister and her boyfriend, they shared a room in Myrtle Beach the whole time we were there.
Really? And your sister's younger than you.
Well, I mean, by a year. She's not like...
Oh, but you're 20.
Yeah.
So she's like 18 at this time? 17?
She's... Yeah.
Now see, that might be a little problematic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
personally didn't care.
Well, I don't think that the brother cares. But I think that for a father, or typically, that would be a little strange.
I don't remember it being that big of a deal, if I'm being honest with you.
Some people don't show it because it will cause a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any good father wants to think of his 17 or 18-year-old daughter in the same complex with them being with their boyfriend. Who wants to do that?
I don't know.
I would think nobody. I mean, I don't even want to see people. I've said this before. This has nothing to do with this particular story, but like when I see somebody, their picture on the beach, who I'm normally seeing them in like a casual setting, if I see them in different clothes, like a bikini or something like that, it's for a minute I go, geez, that's strange, because I don't think of them like that. I don't see them like that. So it's odd. It's not weird, but it's different. Like, well, I think, why are you taking a picture of yourself in a bikini? Or why did somebody take a picture of yourself in a bikini and decide to put that on social media? That didn't used to be a thing. And what are you showing there?
I don't know.
Here's my woman? What is this? Because a guy, you wouldn't think anything of it, because guys run around without their shirts all the time. So that's no thing to be on with your swimming trunks on, but... I don't understand that with a girl. I don't understand why somebody's taking a picture of that and putting it on social media. If you want to take a picture of it, fine. But put it on social media? I think that's weird. You ever had this happen?
No.
There you go.
I mean, if I've had it happen, I never thought that much about it before. It's never been this deep of a thought.
Well, it's not a deep... It's just like when you're flashing by, you think, oh, okay, well, that's different. Whatever. It's not something you harbor. I think it's just different. I mean, I think if you saw one of your teachers like that, I think you would go, that's different.
Well, I mean, I think if you saw one of your teachers like that, that would be, in fact, different.
What's that between a teacher and a friend? I mean, there could be big age differences there. There could be...
I guess there could be big age differences, but it's more so like that's just different because in terms of, like, If you have a teacher, you are inherently younger.
But sometimes the teachers are right out of college.
Well,
When I started teaching high school, I was right out of college. Those kids were like 3 and 4 years younger than me. And it was weird. Because telling these kids to do whatever, and we were in the same age bracket.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. Now it's not strange at all. Because there's a little bit of an age difference there. But when you first do it, very strange.
I have younger people teaching me things all the time.
Yeah, I think as you get older, there's just more younger people. The younger you are, there's not so many younger people.
It's like slowly all the people my age are being knocked off.
Well, it's when do you become a ma'am? Well, when do you become a sir?
Yeah, it's just,
you know?
It's just more so that like people your age don't like.
People your age. Here we go.
Well, I'm not saying your age. I mean, like people like you, like people like refer to people my age all the time too. But like, I mean, I don't think that I'm like. They're not creating more people your age.
Dance a little faster, there, Matt. Come on.
You gotta start.
Slam it down.
You gotta start at the zeros.
Can't pop into this world at our age.
No, yeah, you can't just come in at that age. You can't come in when you're 20 either. But when you're 20, I mean, like a 10-year-old's gonna tell you. There's not a lot of advice going on there from a 10-year-old.
There can be.
I don't know that I'd be listening to advice from a 10-year-old.
Really? Well, this might be the problem.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're 10-year-old. It could be dark or something, you know, and you're about to, like, step on something that is up there.
Is that advice? That's just more of a cautionary tale. But when you're 40, I mean, somebody 35, somebody 30, somebody 25, somebody 21, they could tell you something and you would see them more peerish than a child. When you're 20, basically under you is children.
Yeah.
So not a whole lot of, you know, tips on life coming from that group. But when you're 40, yeah, you got like 20 years of people there who can give you tips on life.
Right.
Don't get married again. You've already done that 17 times. Please stop.
I've had one of my friend's dads actually recently got engaged again. And then I remember vividly when I talked to this man. I don't know about the first time when he got a divorce, but I talked to him when I had first met this friend, and he said that he was never going to get married again.
They all say it.
He said, I'll never get married again. Learn my lesson. It was like, I don't know. He basically just bashed it, and then now all of a sudden I was like, whoa, what did you just...
Because when it ends, that's an unhappy time, and you just went through an unhappy situation. But then you all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, there's nobody else here. Okay, then next person comes in and says something nicer. That's really what it is. They're working you. I hate to say that, but that's what people do.
Working.
The new person works you. I mean, if you think they don't, you're nuts. I mean, you really need to see somebody who's 20 years old about some advice because they will buy your dinner. They will tell you you're beautiful. They will tell you you're dressed nice. They will open your car door. They'll buy your dinner. I mean, they will do everything for you. That doesn't last forever. That's not reality. That's to get you. That's all I'm saying. I hate to be that cynical about the whole thing, but it's true.
Well, I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, and you think that's not true?
I mean, no. I mean,
yes, we only got 2 minutes. You think that's true or false?
I don't think it's 100% true.
Really? You think somebody comes in acting like they do?
I think that everybody puts on a show. Everybody puts on a show.
You know what? I've seen people dress cleaner. I've seen people act. Every weekend they're doing something, they're taking you somewhere. Once they got you,
I don't even think that people realize that they're putting on a whole different front. I just think that eventually the front falls.
No, wait a second. You're saying the person putting on the front doesn't realize it?
Not always. I don't think that the person always realizes that they're putting on a front.
You know you're putting on a front. If you sat down and thought about it for 2 seconds, you would... Normally, I don't, you know, iron my shirt. Normally, I don't take somebody out every weekend. Normally, I don't always buy the dinners. Normally, I don't always tell somebody how beautiful they are.
Yeah, but it's not like a conscious decision. You just kind of do it, and then eventually
You know when the check comes what you're doing. Trust me, you know when you look at your bank account at the end of the month. You know what you've done. What do you think, Jess?
I still don't. It's not always the front.
Have you been around somebody, some guy, who came in, I ain't buying dinner, you're not beautiful, let's just hang out with each other?
Oh, no.
There you go. You always got a front.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Checkmate.
But I don't go in like that either.
Well, no, you don't have to go in naive, but you have to understand at some point that this is not reality, what you're getting in the first year or in the first 2 years. Something. People can keep that up a long time.
Oh, I mean, honestly, I think that you could get married after like 4 years and still be carrying on a little bit of a front there.
You know, if somebody's lonely, this is my final word on this because we're running out of time here today. But if you, okay. I hate to say that, but it's back to the age group of in your 40s. If you are in your 40s and you are getting with somebody who's single, You have to wonder why they're single in their 40s. Clearly, something has went awry in their life where they did not coexist with somebody all the time. So, I'm not saying they're damaged or you shouldn't date them, but clearly they have had some relationship problems along the way. So you have to realize, oh, wonder why they were single when I came around. Shouldn't you ask yourself that?
You do.
Yeah.
Never thought about it.
Well, you're not 40.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
And when I hit 40, I'll let you know how that all goes. We're going to go. Jess, it's great to have you again. So glad you were here. And Matt, you're going to stick around because Pastor Craig is out. And we're going to try to sort out this NCAA thing. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
A diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.